teaching on all of chapter 36 and all of chapter 37. It's kind of a unique setup here because, you know, as we've seen, the book of Isaiah is primarily prophecy and rebuke and blessings on Israel, but then God just takes a little parenthetical stop here, and in these two chapters, he tells this story about Hezekiah, which is repeated in 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. And like I shared this morning, there is no other story in the Old Testament that's told three times, but this one is. So it's obviously one of God's favorite stories, an important story, and it is the story of Hezekiah's challenge. And so notice here in Isaiah chapter 36, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them." And so tonight, the title of my message is, "I Will Defend This City," which God says in, what verse is it? I'm lost now. "I will defend this city." Well, we're going to run across it eventually. But let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom, your power, your presence as we look into your word this evening. Teach us and grow us through it. We love you so much and thank you and pray our Savior will be magnified in this time, Lord. Just do a mighty work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we, before we dive into the rest of the passage, let's go to 2 Chronicles 32 if we could. We're going to bounce back and forth a little bit because different passages reveal things in kind of a different way, just like with the Gospels. You know, the Gospels, it's the same story, but it's told by four different people from a different perspective. It's the same with this story. And so here in 2 Chronicles 32, notice in verse 2, "When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped at all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, 'Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?' Also he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken, all the wall that was broken, and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war of the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, 'Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there is more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles.' And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." Something interesting about this passage that really should speak to us, and that is Hezekiah encouraged the people by saying, "God is going to protect us. God is going to fight this battle for us." But he didn't approach it by saying, "Okay, Sennacherib's coming. He's going to surround the city and attack us. So let's all go have a prayer meeting and just sit down and watch God work." That's not what he did. Instead, he, like Nehemiah, did everything in his own power to prepare the people to defend the city. He put, as you see, they made weapons. They got people armed. They strengthened the walls and the gate and so forth. They stopped the water so that they wouldn't have water when they sieged the city. He took all these steps and trusted the Lord. And you know, that's how God wants it to be with us. We talked this morning about how God wants us to work. God wants us, you've heard this before, to work as if it all depends on us, but to pray as if it all depends on God. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did. He didn't just sit back and say, "Okay, God will protect us." No, God expects us to do everything in our power to serve him and do right and go on and make a difference for him. Take, for example, when God calls people to be in the ministry. Does he want them to prepare? Does he want them to take classes? Does he want them to learn the scriptures? Does he want them to learn ministry? Or does he just want them to say, "Well, God will just do it. I'm just going to go. Faithful is he that calleth, who also will do it. I can do all things through Christ." You see, God wants us to prepare. God wants us to work. God wants us to study. And I like that about Hezekiah. You're going to see that and more of that. But I love what he told the people. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Remember that tonight. God fights our battles. We don't fight our own. He's on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so what an encouragement. So let's go back now to Isaiah 36 and continue through the passage, starting in verse 2 of Isaiah 36. We already read verse 1. Notice verse 2. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war, now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. But if thou say, We trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, Ye shall worship before this altar? Does this sound familiar? Remember a guy named Goliath? He did the same thing. He stood up there and defied the armies of God and said, Who's God? You people are trusting in God. We keep winning all the battles. And that's when David said, Is there not a cause? God's on our side. And now Hezekiah is telling the people, God's on our side. God's going to fight this battle. And so the king, this Gentile king, sends a spokesman to say, Don't trust the Lord. It's not going to work. And you know, do you think the world scoffs at us for trusting the Lord? All the time. They think we're silly. They think we are simple-minded for trusting God. No difference here. 2,500 years ago, we have the world scoffing at trusting the Lord. And he go on verse 8, Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses. Do you think that the world offers rewards for sin? Well, this is a great example of that. Look down in verse 16. It says, Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, Make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one out of his vine, and every one out of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of waters out of his own cistern. In other words, if you'll just surrender, I'm going to treat you wonderfully. I'm going to give you all you want to eat, all you want to drink. Your life's going to be so good if you'll just surrender. The devil says the same thing. Just surrender. Just yield to my temptations. Yield to my thoughts that I keep planting in your head. And it'll be so good and you'll enjoy it so much. And of course, then what comes afterward? Lust bringeth forth sin and sin bringeth forth death. So, Hezekiah is making a choice here as the king. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 11. Just show you another example of someone who chose the same. Because he had an option. He had the option to surrender and say, you know, we're smaller than you. We are weaker than you. We've been defeated before. Hezekiah is way down the line in kings. There's been a lot of bad kings before him. He's one of the rare good kings. There's been a lot of kings that have lost battles, that Israel's been taken away captive in different times. So, I mean, Hezekiah is taking a stand here, but if you look at history, really he's, based on history, he's going to lose. But he's decided to know, I'm going to do the right thing. He's already put away the idols and the altars and said, we're going to trust God. Notice Hebrews 11:25. This is talking about Moses. And it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had an opportunity to just say, hey, I am Pharaoh's adopted son. I could just revel in the riches and the pleasures of all of that. And instead, he said, I am a Hebrew. and I'm going to stand for God. And he suffered for it. Had to go to the desert 40 years, be chased, be an enemy of Egypt. He chose. He made a choice. Hezekiah is making a choice. He says, I am going to choose for us to trust God in this situation. Yes, we're outnumbered. Yes, we've been beaten before. We've been surrounded and conquered before, but we're going to trust God. So let's move on in our passage, Isaiah 36, verse 9. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And I am now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it. The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. They tried the same trick on Nehemiah. There was a prophetess who said, Nehemiah, God told me that you're supposed to go into the temple and hide. And if he would have done it, then they would have had an accusation against him for breaking God's law. There was another example in the Old Testament about a prophet who came, gave his prophecy, and God said, whatever you do, you are not allowed to stop in anyone's house. You're not allowed to eat in anyone's house. You give your prophecy and you leave. Another old prophet shows up and says, oh, God told me he changed his mind. He told me you should come and stay at my house and have a meal. And God killed that first prophet for disobeying his command. Imagine that. The other prophet was lying. He's lying here. He's saying, the Lord, in all caps, Jehovah said, go up against this land and destroy it. Who's speaking? The devil. And you think that that has changed? No. Look at John chapter 16. We'll see another example where Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. Talking to the Jews of the day, talking to us, said the day's going to come when people believe that persecuting Christians is God's will. Notice John 16, verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Did you ever hear of a guy named Saul who became Paul? He thought he was doing God's service when he was killing Christians. There's many people today who think they're following God's will while they're killing others. We know who those are. So God gets blamed for a lot of things. But this wasn't God's will. And so notice down in verse 18 of our passage, we're just going to jump ahead there. We'll go ahead and move on. Verse 11, then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. In other words, this Gentile king had sent this messenger, and he said, speak in a language that we can understand, because we're the counselors, we know multiple languages. Just speak in Syrian, but stop speaking in Hebrew, because we don't need all the people to hear all these discouraging words. Rabshakeh said, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? In other words, we're going to surround the city and we're going to starve you to death, which was a very common way of conquering a city, a walled city. And rather than fight, rather than approach the wall and get shot by an arrow or whatever, they would just surround it, stay far enough away, and just wait until they ran out of food. Ran out of water. Then they have no choice. They either have to fight or they have to surrender. Or they starve to death. It was a very common method, and that's what Rabshakeh was planning to do. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah. For thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me and eat every one his own vine, every one his own fig tree, drink every one of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware, lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, and the son of Asaph, that recorded Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rashika. Chapter 37. Now we're starting to get into the heart of the message. And it came to pass, when Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. That sounds like a pretty good way to respond to a big trial. Amen? Go tell God about it. How often do we make that the last resort instead of the first resort when the trials come? Go to God first. And what did Hezekiah do? He rent his clothes and he went in to talk to God. Verse 2, and he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria his master has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. So Hezekiah wasn't expecting an audible answer. He went into the house of the Lord, and you'll see he prays to God, but he wasn't expecting God to come down and speak to him directly. He instead was hoping that God would speak through his prophet. Well, it's the same with us. We don't expect God to come and audibly speak to us, but we do hope that he will speak to us through this, through his word, which he does. If we will just get in there, the Holy Ghost will use the word to speak to us. And so they did the right thing. They sent to Isaiah and said, help. Isaiah, you're God's prophet. We need prayer. We ask you to take this before God. Verse 6, Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. You see, this is what makes the difference. Hezekiah is bringing it to God and saying, Lord, this is your battle. And the Lord acknowledged, you're right. Because that king said, can Jehovah deliver this city? We don't believe he can. And so they were blaspheming Jehovah. So now it's God's battle. Well, we're God's children. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. So the battles that we face, they're God's battles. If we would just let them be, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The problem is we don't want to give them to God. And we'll talk more about it later. So Isaiah returns the answer, verse 7, I will send a blast upon him, he shall hear a rumor, return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirhakah, the king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Telesser? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? In other words, yes, I have to go deal with something, because I've heard that there's some kings attacking my land, but I'm leaving my soldiers here to siege the city. We're just going to wait. We're going to starve you to death. Now, turn to 2 Chronicles 32 again, just quickly, in verse 17. Another parallel passage again about this story. 2 Chronicles 32, 17. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel, and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. So he not only sent his messengers, but he wrote letters and said, Jehovah will not deliver you. So let's go back to our passage, Isaiah 37, look at verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Here this Gentile king writes these letters saying, God cannot protect you. Look at all these nations that I've destroyed. Look at all these battles I've won. I'm going to write it all down here. Hezekiah took the letter, took it into the house of the Lord and laid it out. Said, Lord, this is your battle. Isn't that good? If we could just learn to do that when the attacks come and just say, Lord, this is yours. I can't fight this battle, but you can. And that's what he did. And so verse 15, Hezekiah prayed. Praise the Lord. Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. So he starts off praising God. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. In other words, Lord, this is your battle, because they're blaspheming you. They're reproaching you. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations in their countries, and they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. In other words, yes, Lord, from a human, earthly perspective, it's impossible for us to win this battle. You think God sometimes brings trials into our lives that seem impossible? All the time. Why? So he can get the glory. Amen? So we can give it to him and watch him work miracles and solve it, because we can't solve it. God gets the glory. Hezekiah says, it's true, Lord. What he says is true. He's been winning all these battles. He's been conquering all these countries. But they're not your country. They're not your people. Verse 20, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Isn't that good? He's saying, Lord, please protect your testimony, which brings you glory. Lord, please save us so that the nations around can say, God is powerful and we are God's people. Not saying, look what we did, but look what God did. It's all about God. It's all about God's testimony. It's all about God's power. And Hezekiah understood that. And so he just said, Lord, here's the letter. Here's the reproach. Here's the situation. I don't know what to do, but you're God and you can solve it. Wouldn't it be great if we would just approach our problems that way? The Bible says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. In Isaiah 55. Give them to God. Verse 21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. This is God speaking. He's saying, who are you blaspheming? Who are you challenging? God says, me. Not my people, me. And God's going to defend his own name. Verse 24, by thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord. And hath said, by the multitude of my chariots, I might come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter the height of this border, and the forest of this Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I formed it? Now have I brought it to pass, that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, and as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the same lesson, but he got a second chance. Because Nebuchadnezzar, at the time, was the greatest king in the world and was ruler over most of the world. And one day he said, look what I've done. And rather than kill him, God let him learn a lesson about humility, and he got to spend a bunch of years running around on all fours eating grass out in the fields like an animal. When that was all done, he came back and said, look what God did. He learned a great lesson. God is saying to this king, you have been allowed to win a lot of battles, but guess what? I let you. That's what God is essentially saying. You know, the world goes on and on. Look what we can do. Look what we've done. No, God allowed you to do it. God is sovereign. Remember that. You know, we often see, the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Often we see the world getting away with stuff. Nobody's getting away with anything. God knows. And if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. But God's in control, and that's what he's saying. I let you win those battles. So verse 28, but I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. And because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. He's saying to this king, you've stepped over the line, you've challenged me, and now I'm going to defend my honor. And this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped to the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they shall escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the house, the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. You may be besieging the city, but it's my city, God says. I'm going to defend it, and you're not going to set foot in it. And then, look what happens. Verse 35, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Every single care, every single burden, God has big enough shoulders to take it. But we need to give it to him, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Everything. Give it to God. There is no burden too big, too small. Give it to God. Hezekiah is teaching us something. He laid the letter out. He said, Lord, we can't win this. They're stronger than we are, but this is your city. They're blaspheming you. I'm giving this to you. Best thing you could have done. And God said, okay, if you're going to give it to me, I'll take it. And I'll fight it. And I'll win it. Amen? And that's, look at verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Even God has a sense of humor. I just like the way that's worded. When they arose in the morning, they were all dead corpses. Well, who arose? Somebody did. In one night, one angel killed 185,000 people. Wow. Imagine that. And so Jerusalem got up the next morning after Hezekiah gave it to God and prayed. They looked out. There's dead people laying all over the ground. Just killed by God directly. No swords used, didn't have to shoot any arrows, didn't have to fight any battles. God said, this is my battle. He let the king live long enough to see it happen. But 185,000, they were all dead corpses. Go to 2 Chronicles 32 again, if you would, just quickly. We're almost done here. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 21, just to see the parallel passage of this great event. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 21. The Bible says, and the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and captains, and the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. When he was coming to the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. So God allowed the king live long enough to go home and have his sons kill him. Imagine that. So back in our passage, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, went and returned, and dwelt at Nineveh. Came to pass as he was worshiping the house of Nisroth, his god, that his son smote him with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia, and his son reigned in his stead. God said, I will defend this city. God asks us to give him our burdens. He doesn't say, you know, I'd rather not, but if you want to, you can give me your burdens. He says, no, I want you to give me your burdens. All through the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, give them to God. Learn from Hezekiah's example. When faced with these impossible situations, and we will constantly face them. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says in Psalm 34:19. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He's going to keep sending these afflictions. He's going to keep putting us in these impossible situations so we can learn what? To trust him. To give it to him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hezekiah didn't see the angel, but it was there that slew 185,000 men. That's faith. That's trusting God. That's believing that God is more powerful than our problems. And wow, what a story. No wonder God told it three times. 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings, and Isaiah, the same story. The story of Hezekiah, the siege of Jerusalem, and God's miraculous deliverance through the angel of the Lord. What is he trying to teach us? Why did he tell it three times? Because it's the same God and the same angels that are on our side. Amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. Lay it out like he did. Get in your prayer closet and say, Lord, I got this problem and I got this problem and I got this problem and they're impossible and there's no way I'm going to get out of this. I've given it to you. God doesn't mind that. God wants that because it brings him glory. What you're saying is, we're weak, he's strong. We don't have the answers, he does. And when we say that, it brings him glory. So remember, God says, I will defend this city. The day you were born again, you became a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're in his family now. He's your father now. He's going to treat you right. He's going to protect you and watch over you. And the Bible, we'll finish in Isaiah 54, if you would turn there, verse 17. God is the God of the universe, and he's on our side. Remember that. And follow Hezekiah's example. Notice Isaiah 54, verse 17. I love this verse. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Listen, if God's on our side, it doesn't matter what they bring against us. If it's not his will, they can't harm us. Now, I'm not saying that he might not allow them to harm us if it's his will. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs, all the people that died for their faith. But I'm saying if you're in the center of God's will, you are safe. You are safe, protected, because God's on your side. So don't be afraid. Trust the Lord. Follow Hezekiah's example and believe that God will defend us if we'll just ask him to. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.